The following is a Mediocre Movie Club production. Hello, everyone. This is Shane doing, I think, what is our first audio review of a movie for the Mediocre Movie Club. And it's, yeah, actually a movie. It's no longer the Mediocre TV Club only here, which is what we've been doing lately. But this week's movie is 1984's Amadeus. Which is a movie that won 8 Oscars, let's say 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, directed by Milos Forman, or it could be Milos, I suppose, by Milos. Also starring Tom Hulce, I don't know, F. Murray Abraham, and Elizabeth Berridge. This is the fictional story of Amadeus Mozart. Or is it Mozart Amadeus? I don't know how these old names work. But, and as like a bazillion people who review this movie online want to let you know, this is not an accurate retelling of what happened. Amadeus was not, an idiot savant, if Amadeus actually is that in this movie, which I think there could be some debate about. But, you know, music people. They love to shit on everything, which is, and music just isn't my thing, especially fancy music, which is kind of, I guess, a little outside the box for me to pick this movie, being I have no musical inclination. I like music as much as the average person, and I am happy to admit that I don't know anything new or fancy or whatever. I just don't. I don't know music. I couldn't tell you what's superior from anything else. It all sounds the same to me, other than awful auto-tuning and country music, because it's barely even music, if it's even music at all. I guess technically it is, because it's right there in the name, but I digress. I guess we can start off with, this movie is told through flashbacks through F. Murray Abraham's character, Antonio Salieri. He is part of the court, I suppose, or fancy musicians, whatever, the aristocracy, or however that actually worked then, and he is, I guess, in his own terms, a mediocre composer himself. People seem to like him, he's well-bred, he knows all the right people, and he's good enough, he's got an excellent ear for music. It's told through his flashbacks of when he meets Amadeus Mozart, and the jealousy and or envy, which we'll talk about later, of what is going on in this situation, and how he deals with Mozart, and the rivalry, and then kind of in music, it's this little different rivalry I feel like than we see in sports, which we'll also get into a little bit later, the music versus sports, but just how we. I guess, see something good and we have to tear it down because we can't have other people being good at things. So up next, I'll talk about the three main characters and my thoughts. So first, let's start off with Tom Hulce, or Hulce. Should probably do some research before I do these things, but he's the one who gets to play Mozart as kind of this somewhat brash but mostly immature, possibly idiot savant musician who's just very carefree. I think he pretty much nails this role as someone who I just don't think is that smart but could ultimately be super talented. I have nothing in particular really sticks out from him, and I don't really see him as the main character anyway. It's more of a supporting role for, you know, who is actual the best part of this movie, which was F. Murray Abraham, which we'll get to in a second. His wife is played by Elizabeth Berridge, and I think Berridge actually does a better job than Hulce does, and she plays Constance, who is a... Those are my dogs. They wanted to join in. But Constance is a fun loving person, but also serious and is very concerned about the financial parts, whereas Mozart's not. So Berridge kind of nails this as someone who is, which I think she's extremely attractive in this movie, and I think she plays that to her advantage. I'm sure those corsets are very helpful in this, but I found myself in most of the scenes that she was in paying attention to Berridge. And I'm surprised I really haven't heard from her since then, or maybe it's just a unique look that works so well with this role and the mixture of kind of, I guess, what I would consider kind of innocent looking face with being more of the serious one in the relationship. I don't know if she could pull that off with a lot of other actors. Of course, we get to F. Murray Abraham, who plays Antonio Salieri, who's just fantastic in this role and deserves every bit of accolades that he gets. We get to see him, you know, this movie's through his, like we said earlier, is through his flashbacks, and we get to see him as an old man reminiscing, and we still see the anger and the jealousy, but we also still see the envy, or, well, talk about envy and jealousy in a second here, but just being immersed into Mozart's music, like, he wears it on his face, just the contempt he has for Mozart, but also just how in awe he is of his talent and the music he makes. He talks about all the time the curse of being mediocre, and we get this great scene at the very end of the movie where he's singing about being mediocre, accusing everyone else of being mediocre, and it's just a fantastic scene. And F. Murray Abraham just kind of goes all over the place emotionally and absolutely wins this film over, and I think it's hard to think of this as a almost three-hour movie, I guess, with the director's cut. Because I'm just so engrossed in his character and what he's going to do, and is there going to be redemption for his character? I just don't feel like there was, and I'm totally fine with that, and so is he. He just admits it. He's like, I'm not a good guy. I'm jealous, but I also experienced the greatest thing ever, and I also destroyed the greatest thing ever in his world. It's just interesting to see F. Murray Abraham nail that love and loathingness. And of course, I'll go to a special shout out to one of, I guess, kind of my favorite actor, just because he was in Deadwood, but Jeffrey Jones, who I think this is before any of his legal, well, before any of his legal troubles, but he absolutely nails it as a kind of aloof aristocrat who's into the music. And I love this opening, one of the scenes where he says, you know, I think it was just great, like, yeah, there's too many notes in this music, it's too much going on, just subtly nails this part of the movie, showing that he doesn't really know what's going on either, and just how out of touch everyone is. Next up, I'll talk about some themes from the movie that I enjoyed. So the first theme I'd like to talk about is jealousy versus envy. Psychology nerds, I guess, kind of define this as something I always don't really know the difference between. Envy occurs when we lack a desired attribute enjoyed by another. It's like a two-party thing, basically. And jealousy occurs when something we already possess, like a relationship, is threatened by a third person. What I think this movie does so well is shows F. Murray Abraham both being jealous and envious. His envy is, I think, the better part of him. I don't think it's necessarily a negative thing. I think a lot of us are envious of a lot of people who can do things, better than them. And that's something I think that is, so, as we're getting older, it's hard to admit that people are better than us at things, which I guess probably is why the Dunning-Kruger effect is a thing. But jealousy is something we also always experience, but not necessarily like the same way F. Murray Abraham experiences that with the same person. His relationship with the court is threatened, and we see that jealousy. He can't handle the fact that Mozart is better than him. And I guess the interesting point is that no one else even realizes how much better Mozart is than him. They just know he's good, but Salieri is like, well, yeah, I'm good too. And then he, knows that he's not that good. as good, because it's basically kind of like we have a LeBron versus Jordan situation. LeBron is near great, whereas Jordan is great, and that will always be the difference between the two of them. I don't care what people say. As good as LeBron is, he isn't great. So there's always going to be comparisons and always fall short. But the thing is, there's nothing wrong with being near great. It's just great is what it is for a reason. People have just this different something. Mozart has a different talent that Salieri can never match. And he is envious of that. He can't have that. He knows he can't have that, although he wants it. As hard as he's going to try, he can't have that. I guess that's kind of one of the other themes about this is the natural talent. I think most people who are teenagers or early 20s, even those with low self-esteem, we all tend to think that we're better than everyone else at, you know, everything, or, you know, we know what's going on. I'm sure we've all embarrassingly said at a job somewhere, this place, you know, couldn't survive without me. I said that as an employee at Subway in high school, and that's the dumbest thing ever, because anyone could work at Subway and just be fine. But there are certain times in life, I think, where we find out we're not as naturally talented at things as some people are. For me, the first time I remember was with my buddy Frank, who's a big dude, and we did jousting, like the American Gladiator style, with those two big things at this on these pedestals at an arcade, and I just tried to wail on him, and then he just one swipe just crushed me and did it not once, twice, but three times in a row. He's like, dude, I'm gonna hurt you, we gotta stop doing this. And I was like, I didn't want to admit it, but I was like, okay, they're just, he's stronger than I am. It doesn't matter how strong-willed I am. Like, I grew up with that thinking, you just gotta work hard enough, you'll get it. I'm like, man, turns out that's not the truth. I also remember the first time I played basketball with a D1 basketball player and just thinking how effortlessly he did everything, and I realized it was not different from me playing with, I guess, some middle schoolers as I would now, just not really trying, but doing the minimum and being able to be better than everybody. So those are kind of a couple of those things that I realized that I'm just not that talented in certain things. And there are plenty more now, that I'm more willing to admit it now later on in life. Whereas before, it was a fight with the ego. If you guys have any of those stories, I'd love to hear them. It's embarrassing to think that I was good at everything. I thought I was good at everything. And a bit cathartic to admit it now that obviously I am not. Because it is a Monday night and I'm doing a podcast and on the dais by myself in my living room. And I can't even get it right because my dogs are assholes and are eating and running around the house. But I guess I'll swing back to Salieri and F. Murray Abraham and Salieri just nailing the envy and the jealousness. And you can tell he loves what Mozart does, especially as, I guess, I'll get this in a second too, but just finish up the jealousy part. He loves the music. And he loathes himself. He hates it. He hates not only his mediocrity, but he hates that someone is just so much better than him without having to try. Which is why I think it's a genius stroke to have Mozart be an idiot savant rather than someone who's super hardworking and super talented at the same time. He's not. This is where the conflict comes in. It's too easy to say F. Murray Abraham's character, his Salieri, is a dick if Mozart's super good and super talented. Like, let's say if he's like the Ramsay Bolton, right? Like, he can do whatever he wants. And although I guess Ramsay doesn't work hard either, so maybe it's not that different. Anyway, that we wouldn't get the conflict we get in this movie without that, without Holt's just laugh the whole time. And I think this is a great stroke and shows the difference, the subtlety between jealousy and envy, and how it can all go together. I guess for the next session we'll talk about, I guess, sports and music. I guess this section we'll talk about kind of sports and music and two of the things I kind of see that are similar here or three of them. But first, I think the theme that we see in sports and music in this movie in particular is the overbearing dad. Here, Amadeus Mozart is always looking for approval, and he's looking for approval of Salieri, who is somewhat of a father figure. He trusts him completely, because why wouldn't he? He doesn't know that there are people out there trying to get him other than his dad, and he just wants to look like he's succeeding for his dad. I don't think he necessarily cares about succeeding per se. I mean, he loves his music and he knows he's writing good music, but it's too easy for him. He's more interested in the approval. And we see that in sports all the time. And I think it's one way where sports and music are similar is you have to start at a young age, although it's vastly overrated in sports how young you start. Although you have to be active and doing things, but we get the overbearing dad who just wants their kids to succeed. And well, I guess in some cases there's envy on the part of the dad or jealousy on the part of the dad, whichever one it is, where they know the kids better than them, but they're going to tear them down anyway, which is, again, for whatever reason, as small humans, we want to tear down people who succeed and who are good at things, and we can't let other people be good. And it's something I don't terribly understand. I think I used to, again, in mature days, I think it used to be like that, but I feel like by college, by the time you're out of college, you got to be over that, right? You can't just say, and I remember in particular, this is inside base, well, not inside base, but like anecdotal story, but I remember a particular meeting in my fraternity where we were talking about summer housing and we got discounted housing, and one guy was going to stay there who was no longer a student. And it just bothered so many people. And I'm like, why does anyone care? I remember that. A few people were just like, why do you care that someone is staying there? It's just against the rules, which fall back to the rules or whatever order you want to call back to. It just comes back to you can't handle someone else having something good. We have to tear it down for whatever reason. It's something I think is more common. I wish it would stay in youth, but unfortunately it ends up in adulthood for a lot of people, and a lot of those people seem to be type A people who are in charge of things, or maybe they're not, and we just don't pay attention to people who aren't in charge of things. So, other than dad, I think the difference between sports and music is sports tend to be a meritocracy. Either you're good or you're not good, and coaches aren't going to put someone on the field they don't think is going to help them win. Sure, they're going to sit somebody who's less talented for someone else who might fit in better, but that's them winning. You go to a sport like swimming, either you're the fastest swimmer or you're not. It's just the time. It's so objective. With music, you just don't have that. I know a lot of good music people say there's objectivity involved. There is, there's talent that you can hear, but ultimately it's more of a subjective measurement, right? I mean, we see probably one of my favorite movies in the past 5 years, 10 years, maybe my favorite movie, Whiplash, where we see someone who's talented, and there's this obsession with this perfection, and it's an insane thing to me because 99% of people can't tell the difference. Why go the extra mile for that 1%? And that 1% is never gonna love you. They're just these superior assholes, right? And I guess that's kind of, I was going to rage on music for a second here, music fans and fancy music fans, the superiority that comes with music. A lot of people can watch a ball game and say, oh, here's what's going on, here's what's going on. I follow nerdy stats, and I think I know more about baseball than most casual fans, but I just don't understand why you got, put your nose up in the air at somebody or get a fart and waft you and just sniff your own farts or whatever it is. And music just, people are good at it. And it's a classical music. It's just such a thing that can't be, not allowed to be done casually. It has to be fancy. It has to be this way. It's not much different than we see in Amadeus. It's for the fancy people. It has to be done in such and such a way. And we see that as the movie goes on. He's just so talented. He's going to do whatever he wants. People are going to come no matter what. And I think that's the more important part It just, music doesn't have to be so, I'm at a loss for the word, but pretentious, I think, maybe. And the way music people tend to follow each other around is odd. I mean, like, I've had an experience recently where, because some guy is really good at piano, he also happened to be, I got arrested for child pornography. And a bunch of people who were big music fans who loved the program he did wanted to bring him back in around a bunch of kids and make rules for kids being around him. It's like, no, man, like, that's not how it works. If the kids are there, he needs to not be there, period. It's child pornography. I don't know how much lower it gets than that. It's disgusting. But they value this talent so much. And it's just this natural talent, you know, and this guy, let's call him Todd, which is his name, but he's naturally talented. He's a hard worker too, but, you know, he hasn't really done, it's not like he's something so special that he's above reproach. Like, he's just someone who was just born really good at piano, more than likely. His genetics are good, and then he was shown a piano, he had a life, you know, probably a life of privilege, and got this. And see, he's not special. Like, he's just not special, you know? I don't get it. And I've been around a lot of athletes as well with my prior career. So I don't think they're special. A lot of people, and I've had an argument with someone before too, will say that, oh, this athlete, they're just different. This athlete does this. I'm like, nah, man, they are just a bunch of dudes or ladies, like whatever sport you're paying attention to. They're all normal. There's nothing that special about them other than very few of them have such a sick talent that no one else can rival it. Talking about like your Michael Jordans in his time, Babe Ruth, Barry Bonds, those guys are never going to be equaled, but there's nothing you can teach about it. Like Ted Williams always talked to, you know, he was an awful coach, but he just knew how to hit. And there was just a natural talent. The guy had freakishly good hand-eye coordination that you can't teach. And so music people who, they want to live within that greatness, so they actually appear because they can hear it and they can tell what's great, what's not. Oh, they can't do it themselves. And I don't think that being able to tell what's great and what's not is a talent. That's just something you've spent time doing. And it's just not something I get. And I definitely don't think it's worth bringing a child, potential child molester around kids. So whatever. That is my rant. That is my soapbox on this. I will finish up with my final thoughts. So this movie is an 80s movie, but does not feel like an 80s movie, and I think that's a good attribute. We do get a touch, so it's not just a period piece, we do get a touch of 80s with the wild hair, which an interview from Ebert mentioned the hair being kind of inspired by the musical Hair. But so there is like this touch, but it's not garishly done, and like I just don't feel like this is a dated movie. This could have been made in the 90s. It was a fresh take on something that could be pretty boring. There's some really bad music biopics out there. And granted, this isn't a true biopic, but it gives us something, it gives us an artist, it gives us a character that we kind of all know, and gives us like just a good original take on it. And it was more about, these overall themes. I think Mozart itself, and so all these assholes who online keep telling us that, you know, that's not, it's not really what it is, it's not really his life, are fucking missing the point, and they're fucking idiots. So, it's a bold stance, Shane. Way to go. Tough guy. But I just, between the multiple themes, the complications, yeah, it's a little long, but that's fine. I don't care. I think it's well done. The acting is, there's no bad actor or actress. Even the maid just crushes it in this crying scene. I love this entire movie. This is an A to me. I wish I hadn't waited so long to watch it, but I think it was just because I don't give a fuck about music, that I delayed it. That was a mistake. So, there you go. Amadeus. This idiot's opinion is an A. And that's gonna wrap it up for me. I appreciate y'all listening. If you made it this far, congrats, you deserve a reward. I'll give you a high five next time I see you. Looking forward to your opinions.